That's the only thing that's stable, only thing that's steady, and that's the Heavenly Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Holy Ghost, and the Word of God. That's the only thing in this old world that's stable, people. Now, people my age and those a little bit older, if you look back in time, you're going to say the world's changed a whole lot since we started coming along and stuff, and it hadn't been for the good, neither. We've got to a point in this whole world and stuff where they want to leave God and everything about God out. And I don't know how in the world you can leave the Creator out of things. Just don't know. If you have your Bible, turn with to the book of James, chapter 1. Good Lord willing, and if He'll allow me to do that, I want to do a study in the book of James. Before we start tonight, Brother Vince, if you would pray for us, please. Yes. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Jesus. Help us. Jesus.
Lord, touch our hearts. Lord, help us to be like sponges, to soak up your word, that we'll go away spring
Jesus.
Throughout the week. We thank you for this study.
Yes, Lord.
We step to this church. God, you raised up this ministry, man did it, but you did. And we
Jesus.
Thank you for loving us and keeping us in your blood. In Christ Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Amen. The book of James has always been an interesting book to me. Book of James is pretty plain. And I'm going to be honest with you, I like things plain. I like things up front. I like things that are true. I like for it to be that way. The Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now, a long time ago when I started reading the Bible and began to study God's Word, that right there was something that sort of caught me. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, trials, tribulations, trouble. And God's Word said, count it joy. That was sort of a hard thing for me and stuff, because especially temptations is something that I don't want no part of. I don't want no part of trials. I don't want no part of tribulations. You know, there are troublesome things and stuff, and my wife, Jane, tell you that this is the way I am. When something comes along, I want it over right now. I want the problem solved right now. I want the situation fixed right now. But in God's realm, that's not the way it is. And what I want is not always what I get. And there's a reason in our lives that we don't get so many times what we want. And I begin to read and study God's Word. And this is a wonderful thing to me. And that's the Holy Ghost. Now, I grew up in the Church of God, and the Holy Ghost is a big thing in the Church of God. Sometimes I think the Baptists get a little bit scared of that, but Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. He said, I'm not going to leave you alone in this old sinful world. He said, I'm going back to the Father. So now you think that I don't really need to leave you, I need to stay here with you, but it's expedient that I go back to the Father and say, but I'm not going to leave you alone. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? I'm glad He didn't leave us alone, people. I'm glad He didn't leave us alone, because we don't do well alone. I'm thankful for the precious Holy Ghost of God, that Comforter that He sent to us. You know what I love about that? That He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but He stays with us. He's a teacher. And this is what Jesus said. He said He's going to bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. And that's what I love about reading God's Word and the precious Holy Ghost, because when you go to seeking God's will and God's Word, the Holy Ghost is going to remind you and bring things back to your mind, scriptures that you've read. Not only will it do that stuff, but it'll lead and guide and direct you while you're walking through this old sinful world, because this is a sinful place, people. It's a sinful place. And I begin to read that, I said, count it all joy. I said, I'm going to have to look into that right there. Count it all joy. And I want to read you some scripture and stuff before I go any further. And, you know, I said this one time before. I said that when I was growing up, my mom and daddy, they just hammered things into me. They just hammered it into me. There was a reason for that. I'm pretty hard-headed. But there's another reason and stuff that things are hammered into us. And that's where that we'll remember it. We need to be reminded, people, of what God's Word says. We need to be reminded. I'm talking about the little old small simple things. Little old small simple things we need to be reminded. I'm going to read you some scripture. I've talked to you about it before. It's found in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, Paul writing here to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. Let's begin with verse 14. He said, Timothy, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, not only learned, but hast been assured of. Now see, that's a wonderful thing right there and stuff. It's not something you just learn, but it's something you've been assured of. This is a fact. You can take this to the bank. This is the way it's going to be. It's going to be this way yesterday. It's going to be this way today. It's going to be this way tomorrow. That's what I was talking about being stable a while ago. You can't find things stable in this world. I can remember and stuff. You know, when you talk about the Ten Commandments and stuff, you didn't bother the Ten Commandments and stuff. You know, if they was hanging in a place of prominence in a building or something, you left that right there alone because that was God's. People got no respect for God anymore. It don't mean anything. Don't mean anything, but here Paul writing to Timothy, he said, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who taught them? God taught them. The Holy Ghost taught them. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able, listen now, to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. If you won't know anything about wisdom, the only place you're going to find wisdom is in the Lord. You're not going to find it in this old world. This old world has just got silly. I mean, it has just absolutely got silly. People turn around, I'm offended. My feelings have been hurt. Every time you turn around, somebody is offended or my feelings have been hurt. Somebody needs to get up on a high podium and preach the Word of God to people. Let them hear what God has to say and what is true. What is true. Paul said, in that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And here we go. This is what I've talked to you about before. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now listen to what it says. He said it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That sounds like to me and stuff that you're liable to get offended at the Word of God. God's Word is liable to hurt your feelings just a little bit because this old flesh is sinful by nature. It's not good. There's not one thing you're going to find good about this old flesh. It is sinful by nature. And he said that the man of God, not the man of the world, but said the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now getting back to what we said, we're going to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 7. This is what I love about God's Word. See, there was a lot of vessels that God used to write this Word. But that's all they were vessels. It's just like swapping ink pens. That's all that was. God was just swapping ink pens. He was taking vessels that loved Him and chose to follow Him, and He was directing them in the Holy Ghost. And this word was written down for our use today, and for our use tomorrow, and forever and ever on and on. Paul writing here in Romans chapter 7. I want to cover this part right here before we get to the joy of those temptations that we are subject to fall into. So in Romans 7:14, Paul writing here said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." We want to look at what we are. Then we're going to get to the joy of those temptations, those tribulations, those troubles. Paul said, we know that the law is spiritual, but he said, I am carnal. I am fleshly. I am man. He said, I'm sold under sin. Adam sold us under sin when he disobeyed God. Sold us under sin. We were sold into slavery of sin. David, the psalmist, said, in sin did my mother conceive me. I'm talking about when he was conceived before he was born. David said, I was a sinner. I was a sinner. For that, now listen to what the scripture says. He said, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. Now listen. But what I hate, that I do. Have you ever had that feeling since you've been a Christian? You want to serve the Lord. You want to be right with the Lord. You want to do what the Lord have you to do. And before you know you can even get turned around good, you've done something wrong that you hate to do. I'm talking about you physically hate it. You hate that this has happened. You don't want it to happen. But it does because of this old fleshly man. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now here Paul writing to the church at Rome, Paul was saved. And Paul was saying what? He said, I've got sin in this old flesh of mine. And the Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, said if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you notice who's doing the forgiving and who's doing the cleansing. It's not me and you, it's Him. We can't do anything for ourselves. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this is the second time Paul has made this statement. He wants you to understand and to know for a fact that there is sin that dwells in us. This old flesh will never enter into the presence of God. It is sinful by nature, and there is no sin going to enter into the presence of God. He said, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I first read that, I thought to myself, I said, well now, he's talking about the devil, but he wasn't. He's talking about this old flesh. He said, I find that when I would do good, evil is present with me. This old flesh is there. It's present. It's not going to go away. I want to get away from it. I wish I could run away from it. But it follows me everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the new man, that which is born of the Spirit. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, now listen, we fit and get somewhere right here. Now we're starting right here on understanding a little bit about this joy that the Bible's talking about in the book of James. He said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now there Paul's making a statement. Here's my deliverer. Here's my deliverer. Here who's going to make a way out for me. You see, that's where your joy is going to come from right there, when you realize I'm a sliding, but I got somebody that's going to catch me. I got somebody that's going to catch me, and not only going to catch me, but going to hold me. I can slide down and fall flat on my face, but I've got somebody that loves me that's going to pick me up. Praise His holy name, because He's worthy to be praised. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh, the law of sin. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Start reading in verse 7. Paul speaking again, he said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul had gone through some revelations with God. And Paul was saying here that he said, "I had a thorn in the flesh to keep me from being exalted." But this thorn in the flesh was an aggravation. It was a painful thing to me. Listen to what he was saying here. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." What was Paul saying here? He said, "I went to the Lord once. I want this thing solved. I want this thing fixed." But it wouldn't. He went a second time and said, "Lord, you're not listening to me." Said, "I need some help here. I want this thing solved. I want it fixed." Nothing. Went back again the third time, said, "Lord," said, "now you know the situation I've got here. I've got this thorn in my flesh. It's a painful and an aggravating thing." He said, "I want this thing solved. I want it fixed." And then God answered him. Listen to what he says now. We're getting more and more onto this joy. "And he said unto me," he said, "my grace is sufficient for thee." How many in here can say tonight that the grace of God has been sufficient for your life since you've been saved? Because it was by grace that you were saved indeed. So that grace of God has been sufficient. We're getting closer to the joy part of it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Listen now. He said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Do you know what me and you are? We are weak. We are weak. We subject to fall at the drop of a hat, people. I'm talking about any one of us, every one of us. We are subject to fall at the drop of a hat. And this old fleshly man, just as soon as somebody stumbles or messes up, first thing it wants to be done is talk about them and condemn them. Now that's not what God's Word tells us. What did He just say? He said, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." God is telling us, child, you're weak in this old flesh. But if you'll trust in me, if you'll trust in me, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Listen to what Paul said. We're getting a little closer to the joy again. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Pleasure is getting pretty close to joy. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. But now there's a secret. Well, it's not a secret, but there is a formula to this. You have to yield yourself to the Lord, people. That's where we go to having our troubles at. Because just like in the Garden of Eden, when the devil tempted Eve with the tree, how he took a lie. Because the Bible says what? He's a father of liars. And he's able to take a lie and mix it with the truth. And he'll paint that picture so pretty that you just reach out there and touch that fruit that you think is there. But it's not. It's not. What did he tell Eve? Eve said, Said the Lord said we couldn't have that fruit right there. Because the day we touched that fruit, we'd die. And what did the devil say? He said, thou shalt not surely die. But you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Well, they did. But that didn't change the dying end of it, did it? Peter said he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he's not going to come to you like no roaring lion. Because if somebody come running in here from outside and said there's a lion in the churchyard, most of us big brave hunters can be thrown out the door. Not barehanded anyway. Because I am not Tarzan and I'm not going to tie no knot in a lion's tail. But you see, he's not going to come like that. He's going to slide under the door. That's what he does in your life. That's what he does in the church house. He just slips in and slides in. And that's the reason you can't give him no room. That's the reason you've got to hate him and everything about him. And everything about this old flesh that draws and pulls on you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. We'll start reading in verse 1. He said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. And see, that's something else too. Now, God's Word don't want you to be ignorant. In plain terminology, that's just stupid. So now, He don't want you to be stupid. Now, He's going to talk to you, and the Holy Ghost is going to talk to you, and He's going to tell you the way things are. He said, I would not have you should be ignorant how that all our fathers, now, Paul talking here about the nation of Israel, when they were brought out from the Egyptian bondage, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, listen right here. Now, we're going to look. We've been talking about temptations. We've been talking about counting it joy to fall into temptations and stuff, those type of things and stuff. But we're going to look a little bit at the other side of the coin. Good Lord's going to take care of us. He's going to see after us. But there's nowhere in this Bible that you're going to find anywhere a license to sin. Now, I mean, that goes for all of us. Now, I'm telling you, we're going to fall. We're going to stumble along the road. But there's nowhere in the Bible that He's going to tell us that we've got a license to sin and do wrong. Because if we do, you can believe for a fact that you're going to pay for it. Now, I'm not talking to you about that because of something that I've heard somebody else say. I'm talking to you because of that, because I know that to be a fact, because I've done been there, people. I've done been there. I would be ashamed, and I'm telling you this from my heart, I would be ashamed to tell you some of the things that I've done since I've been saved. I really would. I would be ashamed. And people talk about getting to heaven and jumping up and down and shouting. And there's going to be a shouting time. But people, I'm going to tell you something. If you really think about it, because you go in there by grace, you're not going by your own merits. I can't help but believe when we get home, and that's what heaven is home. I can't help but believe that we're going to lay down on our faces and we're going to weep because we know that we're not worthy to be there. Not worthy to be there. Listen to what the Scripture says. He says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now listen, said, "Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed." Listen now. "And fell in one day 23,000. Do you see what the Scripture's saying? You're not going to do something wrong and get by with it. So what are you saying, Brother Lee? He's going to kill 23,000? I didn't say that. I'm saying you're not going to do wrong and get by with it. Something's going to come along right behind that to remind you of what you've done wrong. You can count on that. "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all these things happened to them for examples. Listen now. "And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come." Now listen to what this says. He said, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Now that's pretty sober right there. Don't think you so close to the Lord that you can't fall. Don't think you so far up the ladder and stuff that you can't get knocked off of a room. And then it tells us this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." He's faithful. Now listen, we're not, but He is. "God is faithful." Now listen, "who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear." Now the Bible didn't say He might do that. He said He would do it. What's our problem, people? Our problem is we don't want to take that avenue of escape. Now we're talking plain here and stuff. We're not talking, you know, I don't believe, I'm just telling you this. We come to church, we need to come in a holy reverence with thanksgiving and prayer on our hearts, our lips, songs, thanking the Lord for His mercy and His goodness and His kindness. As I told you a couple of weeks ago, we are blessed to be sitting right here because we could be in the hospital somewhere with someone that we love. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. For me to be laid in a hospital bed, that's one thing. That's one thing. But for me to be in a hospital with somebody I love, and I'm worried whether they're going to live or die, I had rather the Lord just take me. Now I'm just telling you the way it is, the way I feel and stuff. And so for us to be able to sit here tonight as opposed to be at a hospital with someone we love, or a funeral home with someone who's passed, we don't know how blessed we are. We don't know how blessed we are. And we read the scriptures and we look at what the Bible says, that temptations are going to come along. They're going to come along. But the Bible says that He'd make a way for us to escape. What did Paul say while ago? He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For in weakness my strength is made perfect." But we've got to wait on the Lord. We just read here about Him crossing the sea. I think about what Moses told them there at the sea. There they were at the sea. They were blocked off and couldn't go no further. Pharaoh's army is running up behind them. They're doing the same thing I'd be doing, pitching a fit, trying to find a way to get out. And Moses told them, he said, "Stand still. Stand still." That's Southern technology would tell you, "Shut your pie hole." I know you're screaming and hollering, but shut up. And you're fixing to see something make a change right here, because see, this is just like the temptation. See, God made a means of escape. He opened up that Red Sea. And what did the Bible say? He opened it up. Not only did He open it up, it said what? Said they went across how? On dry ground. I mean, those children were singing a while ago, and they said where waters were, now the ground's dry. I don't believe those Israelites picked up one piece of dirt on the sandals when they went across. He walked them across, people. He took them across. He took them across. And in our times of trouble and temptations, He's going to take us through if we'll let Him. That's our biggest thing right there. If we will do what? Stand still. Stand still. Don't go to running after it. Don't go to chasing it. Be still. Let's go back to the book of James. "Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Listen to what the Scripture says now. He said, "Knowing this, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." And if you listen to what the Scripture says right there and stuff, you know, what did it say about the temptations falling into them? Because, you know, sometimes we're going along, we're not looking for something to happen, and all of a sudden something just pops up and bam, we're in it before we even know we got in it. I mean, be that quick. I say be that quick because I know how sorry this old flesh is. I'll share this little story with you. I told this in a testimony a long time ago. But over there where I work, I load a lot of cement. Now, I don't enjoy that, I'll tell you that. And most people that come up there and stuff, when it comes time to load it, they'll get out of the truck and they'll walk back there and look at me and say, "You'll have to load it. I've got a bad back." Had a guy told me one time in there and stuff, said, "I would help you load that cement, but I'm 54 years old. Said, wait till you get to be 54 and feel the pain I feel, and I was 59 then. So, what I'm saying with that right there and stuff, we fall. We're subject to fall. He said, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, that ye may be complete. Now let's look at some scriptures dealing here with patience. Now, Brother Jerry, we're on our subject now. Now, I've heard you say time and time again, you've got no patience. Lord, have mercy. Let Jane talk to you sometimes. Let Jane talk to you. She'll tell you about patience. Said, oh, Lord, have mercy. I've seen him turn somersaults. And I'm not athletic. Let's go to the book of Romans again, chapter 5. Again, verse 1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we... See, this, I love this. I mean, I can't help it. I love God's Word because it never contradicts itself. It's just back and forth over and over again referring to itself time and time and time again. So by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, not in a hope that we are hoping that there's a God. We're hoping that there's a Jesus. But we know for a fact that there is a Heavenly Father and that we have a Savior. And our hope is a steadfast hope that keeps us on this road that we're on. And not only so, here we go now. But we glory in tribulations also. Now, the Bible said in the book of James, we count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, troubles, trials, tribulations. It said, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, here we are, Brother Jerry. Here we are in that time of temptation, that time of trial, that time of trouble, that time of tribulation. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. But I ain't got but one way out, and that's the Lord. And I can't go out until the Lord says it's time for me to go out. That's the way it is. We have to wait on Him. We have to wait on Him. If we're going to trust Him and follow Him, we have to wait on Him. He said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, you know, if I'm stuck in it, I might as well sit down and just wait. I might as well get beyond myself. Now, that's a thing to do right there, is get beyond yourself. That's a job right there, getting beyond ourselves, people. That's the reason Moses said what he did, stand still. Listen now. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. Now that's a wonderful thing right there. Patience bringeth about experience. You know what that experience is? Well, you go through one storm, you go through one temptation, you go through one trial, you go through one trouble, and the Lord does what? He delivers and brings us through it, brings us out of it. Now sometimes we don't come out like we want to. Sometimes we fall, and the Lord has to pick us up and clean us all by the blood of Jesus, and we come through that thing and stuff, and sometimes we don't enjoy coming through it because we know that we've done what? That we failed. See, just like Paul was writing in the book of Romans, chapter 7, a while ago, I don't want to fail. Lord, I don't want to fail. But I've been failing ever since I was conceived, as the psalmist David said. I got no hope in this world of making it home except through Him. There is no outside hope. There is no out. That's the reason the Bible says, pray ye one for another. Pray ye one for another. Walk the walk. Don't just talk it. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Hope, once again, we're not talking about hope. Said, I hope I make it. When we come through it, and the second trip hits us, well, I'm going to make it. Because the good Lord is going to bring me through this thing. He's going to carry me through this thing. He's going to see me through it. He's going to see me through it. Brother Mike, I'm going to stop there. I appreciate your attention. I love you. My desire is to teach God's Word, lift up the name of my Heavenly Father and my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and edify the church.